Jesus, we love you, Lord. We just want to pray, Lord, that as we think some thoughts together this morning, that, Lord, you will be in our thinking, you'll be in our time. And I pray, Lord, that that which you want us to take on and change and shape us, that, Lord, it will reside in our hearts this morning and burn in us, God. And that which is from me will fall to one side. Lord, I pray that you will equip us to be the people that you want us to be and have always chosen us to be, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brilliant. So, it's 2019, eh? Another year. And how many of you can remember that little picture on the wall there? So, test you out a little bit now. Should we just get somebody to shut the door, actually? Because it will get a bit cold coming through there. Is that right? Whoever's out there, so... I'm just thinking of you people at the back there, because I'm such a nice, kind chap, really. I don't want you getting all cold. Is that all right? Brilliant. So, who remembers that picture? Come on, don't... Yeah. So what was our thinking for last year? What was the little phrase that went with that from last year? So to grow. Well done. Brownie points there. And I don't know about you, but that sort of got stuck into my mind last year, really. And that was our sort of lot of thinking, really, from last year. And in one sense, I'm not just going to reinvent that particular... I could, couldn't I? Because although I used that as a phrase from last year, that whole idea of you are today what you sowed yesterday is a life principle, really, isn't it? If you don't sow, you won't grow. That's just the way that life works, isn't it, really? And I wonder if you was to sort of say... is there any area of your life right now that you think to yourself, would you know, actually, I took that to heart and I sowed something last year into my life, a principle or whatever it may be, and I'm beginning to see that growing right now? I hope there are. I mean, I'm not going to ask you to say out loud, okay? I think there are some in my own life which I could start digging into and stuff. And you remember I gave you the little seed, didn't I? The little tomato seed, really. And then we'll come back to that one in a little while. All right, really. Well, off the back of that thinking, really, I want to just think this morning about this coming year and think about some of the things that perhaps, or just the idea of what have we been as a church, really, and think of a few areas where we've grown, where we've sown, and I trust we are going to carry on working through. So this morning, really, I'm going to just reflect on some things. Is that okay? And think some thoughts as we... So I've named my talk this morning. Let's go backwards, shall we? Go east, be deep, and let's have a party. So the party bit's all right, isn't it? Okay. So that's what I just want to think this morning about that little phrase. And as we move through the message, I trust that it'll become a little bit clearer what I'm getting at, really. Okay. So. I don't know if you sort of last year we had a few challenges, didn't we? We had a few sort of things that were great that we began to sort of. But you know, around this sort of building, really, we had a few sort of issues, didn't we? Really, you know, I don't know. We were expecting that it would be all finished this time last year, really, and now it's just beginning to get to that place where it's all finished and wrapped up now, a year later. And so, in the middle of the year, I don't know about you, you know, it was a bit. Frustrating, wasn't it? You know, we're expecting this thing to happen, and it all seems to be going a little bit slow towards the beginning of the year, and then suddenly begin to sort of become aware that there is a problem with the builder, and then the builder goes bankrupt, and we're thinking, oh my goodness. And I know that for some folks, I don't know whether it might have been one or two of you. If it was you, I don't want to know, okay? But for some of us, might be thinking, well, what's going on here then, you know? Is God in this or isn't he, you know? What's God doing? Has God given up on this church? You know, those are the sorts of things that people like to throw around, isn't it? And it's out there. And of course, it's a tough battle sometimes. We have to keep moving, don't we? But in the middle of all of that, where we're having a tough time and we're thinking, God, what are you doing? And we're trusting you for this and we've stepped out on faith on this, God, and we're doing that. And that side of things is tough. In the middle of all that, you know, we get somebody come and a visiting speaker, Peter. I don't know if you remember Peter came earlier last and shares this word in the middle of all of that from Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 to 12. I think we're going to read that together now. I'm in an iron about whether we do, but I think we will, okay? It's a little bit of a long passage, but I'm going to read it together and then just think a few thoughts off the back of this. So, Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel's one of those books, isn't it? You think to yourself, oh God, what's that all about? You know, Ezekiel, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" And then jumping forward a little bit further, verse 10, fishermen will stand along the shore from Engedi to Eglam, and there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamp and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, it'll bear because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. And the thinking, the thought within that was that if you study, particularly in the sort of early parts of the Old Testament, whenever they would talk about looking east or going east, the east was the direction that people moved away from God. And so when Adam and Eve were excluded from the garden, they had to go east. And so the idea is that the east represents, there in the Bible, those that have moved away or are away from God, that are not in a place in relationship with God. And so then Abraham, he is called from the east, isn't he? And so that developing that thought is that God's temple is pointing towards the east, and that those people that as they move out towards the east, the river that flows from the temple gets deeper and deeper. And so, in other words, the thought is that as we get deeper and deeper into mission, as we go further and further into the world of those that do not believe in Jesus and do not follow him, as we get deeper into that, there is more of the Holy Spirit at work. You see, as Christians, often we want those Holy Spirit meetings, don't we? Some of you have been around those sorts of Christian world and have been in that sort of stuff enough. And so you like the meetings where there's a lot of power and activity and things going on. But actually, in fact, it seems to me that what's being depicted here in Ezekiel is that the deeper that we go out into the world and we engage with those that are not following Jesus, that's where the real anointing of the Holy Spirit exists. When we are doing mission, when we are living the mission of God and getting involved with people's lives and getting our hands dirty and doing what is needed to reach people with the gospel. And so as we are going through all this tough stuff last year, as we're getting frustrated at the building program, as we're thinking, God, what's going to happen? We're having to live with the building being in different shapes and bits and pieces and ramps at the front of our meeting and all that sort of stuff, and thinking, you know, God, it doesn't seem very attractive to be in here at the moment. In the middle of all of that, God speaks to us and says, this is your mission. This is what I've called you to be. This is at the heart of your DNA and what you are as a church. It is what you're already doing and what I want you to do even more, that you are to be a look east church. You are to be a church that has a passion and a heart to be involved with those who do not yet know Jesus. But more than just, it's not about cozy meetings. It's not about, you know, this thing that we just exist. Everybody has to come to us. It's about us choosing to be a people that are getting involved with our community, with the love of Christ, and being a go east people. A think, it's more than just go east, it's a think east people. Let me just get back to my notes here for us 1 second. Let me just sort of develop this thought a little bit. What does go east thinking look like? What is look east thinking? What does that really get? I heard an excellent talk this week. I went to a conference in Wigan earlier this year, and Not this year, last year, so the back end of last year, okay. And an excellent talk by a lady called Lucy Peppett on Matthew 28. You know, it's a passage of the Bible, isn't it, that heard people talk on lots and lots over the years. And just the way that she unpacked it was brilliant. And now Matthew 28 is Jesus saying to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's his last set of commands. It's his last commission to his disciples before he ascends into heaven. At that moment, he is then taken back into heaven. He ascends back into heaven. And I guess I wonder really just how would those disciples have heard what Jesus was saying to them? How would they have translated that? What would they have taken on board when they heard Jesus say, go and make disciples of all nations? In one sense, perhaps, I guess if I'd been one of those apostolic band that were there on that hill, what I'd have heard Jesus say was, go beyond your personal comfort zones. He was saying to them, go to people who are different from you. Go to people that you don't necessarily like. Go to people that you don't think you should actually spend any time with. And we see that evidence, don't we, as we start to walk into the book of Acts. We see that Peter, he's called by God to go and speak in the home of a Roman in Joppa, and basically gets there and he says, you know, I've come to preach because God's told me to, but actually us Jews, we're not meant to be in your home. You know, that's the greatest opening message, opener to a message ever, really. He basically says, I've come to speak to you, but I don't like you. And then God, just like bigger than all that, says, Peter, I've got you in the room. We're going to talk now. I'm going to do something. And he touches the people in that particular room, and there's an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Because he walked east. He walked east. And so I guess maybe they would have thought, you know, when Jesus was saying that, they're hearing Jesus saying, you've got to go to people that you're not comfortable being around. Go to people that are different from you. Go to people that are not in your comfort zone. But equally alongside that, he is also saying to them, go and make disciples. He's not saying, go and tell them that they are sinners. He's not saying, go, although that might be included in part of the pack, he's not saying to them, go and share a few tracts with them and think that you've given them the gospel. He's not saying, go and just stand on the street and shout at them. Now, I'm being a little bit cynical, a little bit naughty, okay? But that's what he is saying to them. He's saying, go and make disciples. In other words, help them on a journey. Because discipleship is about a journey, isn't it? Discipleship is about helping people to become more like Jesus. Discipleship, Christian discipleship, is about helping people to discover the type of life that Christ has for us. Discovering his value system. Discovering the way that he sees the world and wants the world to run. And so he's saying to them, perhaps, well, I think it's not more than the perhaps. When he's saying, go and make disciples, he's saying to his followers, he's saying, go and get involved with people's lives and walk the journey out. And not just people that you're comfortable being with, not just people that you think should hear the gospel, not just people that you think should be my followers. I want you to go and be involved and stretch beyond your comfort zones and walk people's journeys with them. That's go east thinking, where we get involved with people's lives. And of course, we've seen some of that sort of stuff this last year, haven't we, really? It shaped some of the things that we've done, actually, since then. You see, that's just before I go on to that, just to say that what I'm trying to say to you in the heart of that is, when we're thinking about sow to grow, that was a word that was given to us to sow that we might grow in this year. It was a way in which God, I believe, was saying to us, listen, you might be frustrated by a lot of other stuff out there and all of those things, but in the heart of this, the mission stands, and I am still invested in you, and I still want you to pursue the mission. Yeah, okay, you're going to need to might do bits and stuff on buildings and things like that. It might be needful, but the real mission that you have is people. The real mission, and people that don't know me yet, people that don't even have a seat on the table when it comes to discussing how you do things. That's what, I don't know about you, but I found that encouraging. It was like a way that God was saying, I'm still with you, despite what's going on. And don't see that as a qualitative indicator, because it's not. People are what we're about. And somewhere in the middle of that, you know. So that's shaping how we do things. I mean, for instance, I don't know about the Trek and Treat was a good example, I think, this year. I don't know, Rob's not here, but Joe is. But I've got to be brutally honest with you. When we looked at doing that on the Trek and Treat, you remember the Trek and Treat where on Halloween, rather than doing a light party where we had like party here and lots of kids, which is great, it's a good thing to do. They came up with the idea of us having something where people were, we sort of, people that were walking out and about, we sort of somehow connected with them along the railway track there, games and stations and then hot chocolate and stuff here at the end of the trail. And I'll be honest with you, I thought to myself, well, I don't like the sound of this. But let's go with it, okay? Because it's going stinking. It's out of the box. Let's have a go. And yet, actually, it really, really worked, didn't it? It's the sort of thing that we'll do again next year, because that's going thinking. There was people that were here having hot chocolate at the end of the trail, having walked, you know, survived those of us who were sitting out on freezing cold tables, not that I'm moaning or anything like that, out on the railway track there. And I mean, I think one family said, you know, this is much better than something else that was happening elsewhere in the town. I'm not going to mention any particular examples, but we're saying this is really, really good. You know, we engaged with people that we wouldn't. Same with the film night. You know, film night, is that really, you know, I love the Christmas carols and all that, carols concert, I love all that sort of stuff, but it's go-ee's thinking, isn't it? It's thinking that says we're going to do things a bit differently for the sake of those that are not yet with us, because we want it. Then there were people, you know, Matt and Amy trawled all over the estate, didn't you, with giving out leaflets door-to-door, and there were people that were here that have not been to our church, any of our church gatherings ever before, and that came as a direct result of that leaflet drop and stuff. Let's go east thinking. You see what I'm saying? So as we're moving forward into this year, where do we sow? We want to grow in what we've sown, don't we? And that is a word that has been sown amongst us. So let's continue to grow in it this year. Are you as an individual going to be a look east thinker? A go east thinker? Are we doing that in our lives individually? You know, personally, you know, I get caught in this little Christian world. I have to be careful because I'm a pastor, you know. So I intentionally make sure I've got friends, then I spend time with people that are not churchy people, that are not Christians. Otherwise, I get stuck in that little. Maybe that's might be relevant for some of you. Maybe not. But so maybe just what are we going to do this year? A couple of things perhaps that we might want to sort of think about. Amy, do you want to come and share some Gary's thinking? That's all right. Well done. Cheers.
Great. It's on.
A little rest from my voice for a moment.
Yeah. So in line with all that Paul's been saying, as a church, everything that we do is about seeing people transformed with the love of Christ. That's our vision, right?
Yeah.
And one of the key ways that we do that and that we go east and we go deeper is through community projects like Reach and Checks. And so with the building project so close to being finished, in the next 2 weeks, we're going to be launching 2 new community events each week. So the first of those is called Toast. Do we have any slides?
You do. There you go.
Toast. Any guesses as to what we're serving there? So this is about free hot drinks and toast and a space for people to connect. It's open to anybody. It will be every Monday from 10:30 till 12 out in the cafe. The second, we're going to be relaunching the toddler and parents group called Chalksters. See what we did there? Chalksters.
Yeah.
And so that's every Thursday in here. We're going to be relaunching the group 10:30 till 12, open to any parents with toddlers or babies. Now, with what Paul's been saying, you know, it's great to give away free drinks and create a space for people, create a space for parents and toddlers, but that's not really the point. They're sort of the tools. You know, we are about seeing lives transformed with the love of Christ. We're about going east and going deeper, and these are opportunities to do that. So with that in mind, we want people to come in here and feel so loved, so welcome, so accepted, and so on, that they experience just a tiny bit of that love that Jesus has for them. And we want, these are opportunities for us as a community to reach out into the community and invite them into ours. And through that, we have faith that people's lives will be transformed.
Mm.
So, 2 quick things to ask of you. These are going to be starting on the 21st and 24th of January. And can I ask you to, number one, pray, because this won't work if God's not in it. We need his power, and we need the Holy Spirit flowing east for this to work. So especially pray around that first week where these are launching, but just keep this in mind. And then secondly, come and join in, because it also won't work if we're not there as a church to get to know people and to reach out into this community. So especially come along on Mondays if you're able to. If you've got a toddler or a baby, come along on Thursdays. And use this as an opportunity to get to know the community. Pull up a seat at the table. And even better, invite people along. So if you have any questions, come and chat to Matt and Ari over the next few weeks. But thank you.
Brilliant. Excellent. Good. That's exciting, isn't it, eh? Yeah. Brilliant. Good. Cool. So let's move on from that way of thinking it, right? From that. Do we get a bit of bacon with that toast, by the way? So, yeah, maybe. Come on. Campaign for bacon. Right, no. Great, okay, so alongside that then, so we've got the thinking there, haven't we, about go east thinking, keep that, you know, let's maybe we'll get that a little bit of a phrase, shall we? We can replace sow to grow, we can build upon sow to grow to go east, okay? But alongside that, I do also just want us to think that in terms of how we're sowing in our own lives and growing is that idea of being deep. You see, sometimes you get folks that are just fixated on wanting to win the lost, if you like, or one particular project or something like that, and actually are not cultivating depth in their own life. A guy who discipled me for years, he used to say to me, Paul, he said, Paul, you can't preach from an empty bucket. What he was saying to me, and that I guess you can appreciate, is that if you're giving out, if you are doing a lot, you have to make sure that as you're doing that, that you're cultivating space for your own maturity and your own depth and your own personal growth. And otherwise, suddenly you will get to a place where suddenly you realize you've used up all that you had and you're running on empty, and it shows after a while, doesn't it? You know. And so if us as an individuals, if we have a commitment to be people who are given to the mission of God, we have a commitment to be people who are being used by God, we must equally maintain that discipline that says, I'm going to keep a depth about my life. I love this passage, Acts 2:42. If you want to say to me, Paul, how do I grow as a Christian? Well, you can't do a lot worse than live around those four principles there. The first thing that I'm not going to unpack this too much. I could spend my whole time talking on this particular passage. But the key thing I want to just notice first in that is that this is said of the early church. The infant church, the church that has just seen Jesus ascend back to heaven and has now been empowered by the Spirit of God and is beginning to grow rapidly. So they're really engaging with the mission of God. They're doing what Jesus has told them to do, going and making disciples. They're not getting fully there yet because they're not touching all nations, but they're moving forward. And it says that they devoted themselves. In other words, each person took responsibility for their own spiritual life and engaged with what they needed to engage with. See, it's really easy to say, well, I'm not growing as a Christian because this is not being provided for me, or this person's not doing what they should do, or this has happened to me. But that's not okay, really. In one sense, as though there might be difficult things and things we can appreciate and understand, the bottom line is you will grow if you choose to grow. You will make yourself grow as a Christian if you choose to engage with what is needed for you to grow spiritually. Now, I believe that it is the job of us as a church, a community, we are meant to help one another, but the person who is going to make you grow the most, I would lovingly and gently say, is you. At taking responsibility. And so they said that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What was that about, really? That wasn't just any old teaching. This was teaching that was rooted in the apostles' understanding of the Jesus that they had just been serving for the last 3 years. Their Jesus interpretation of the scriptures, a Jesus interpretation of the Old Testament, our understanding of the gospel as it is rooted in Christ. That was the apostolic doctrine, I would suggest to you. And so if we are committed to growing us our understanding of the scriptures with our Jesus goggles on, We will grow. Okay, devoted themselves to fellowship, i.e. the shared life, the koinonia, the being together, but not just, fellowship's not just going to some midweek meeting and having a nice chat and a bit of a cup of tea. That's part of fellowship, but that's much, much more than that. It's shared life. You know, I was talking with a social worker this week about, you know, one, you know, I was going to think, well, we're going to probably start fostering this year, and that's not an area that we're starting to grow, if you like, and our support mechanism. And one of those support mechanisms we talked about is the fact that we're part of a community that cares for one another. We look out for each other. That's koinonia, isn't it? When something happens and we share life and support one another, that's the sort of thing that perhaps we're talking about there. That a breaking of bread, I think that is the statement of worship in the middle of all of that. That when we break bread, it's not some religious spooky nonsense that many of us probably have experienced over the years. And certainly I know that I was in my early days as a Christian, where you have to sit round a table and be as quiet and as hushed as you can. And I know I'm being a little bit cheeky, but breaking of bread surely is about a commitment to keep Jesus at the front of our thinking on a regular basis and all that he has done for us, and being appreciative of that and making sure that we live our lives in the context of that. It's like having a big picture in front of us of all the time, like a photograph that reminds us that he is who he says he is. And then to prayer. We don't talk to God. We're, you know, relationships cultivated by communication, aren't they? And so be deep. One of the ways that we sow, so I'm trying to get this idea of us growing the things that we've sown, really. You know, how many of us did the Bible course this year, you know, and how many of us found that really helpful? I did. I thought it was excellent, really, really good. And but you know, what's next? I hear you say. Do I hear you say? So of course, as we're developing that, there's some, many of us have got a sort of. Actually, a few people have said that really. You know, what can we do next? Really, and found that engaging with that big picture of the Bible and want to do a bit more Bible study. And sorry, what have I done wrong there? What have I put on there? Oh, I have, haven't I? Oh, dear, sorry. It's not the 21st of April, it's the 21st of January. How did I manage to do that? Sorry, okay. Ignore me. I would say ignore me, but I... Just testing, you see if you're awake. So we're not going to be doing small groups like we have done them. We feel like that sort of runner cycle, runner sort of season, really, that approach. And so you're going to start something as of the 21st of January, okay, called Connect Study Groups. And we're going to use this expression Connect Groups now, really, more as a way of describing our small groups, really. So you know, we might have a Connect group, for instance, that develops where people are meeting around a particular interest, like windsurfing or something. I don't know. Have we got any windsurfers here? That sort of thing. But this initial sort of way we're going to do things is to start these groups, connect study groups, and the thinking with them is going to be that they'll run term time. So the first one will run, I think, for 10 weeks, and we'll pick a book of the Bible or a theme from the Bible or a person or something like that, and then each group will go at its own pace. So we're going to pick the book of Ephesians first, okay? A great treatise of Paul in Ephesians, and then we'll just, each group will read a few passages, unpack it, and work through it as it goes, really. So if you'd like to be part of that, and you'd like to be part, the advantage of that is studying together. I don't know about you, but I love to learn with other people. I like to have my own space where I hit the books and I study and think for myself in my own space. I'm that sort of person. But equally, I like to be able to talk it through with other people and to get other people's thoughts and to feed off of that. That's been one area this last year I've been trying to sow to grow, because, you know, where do I get other people that are really going to bounce my brain around when it comes, well, my thoughts, not my brain, my thoughts around when it comes to, I've been connecting with a few other folks in those sorts of areas. So, you know, that sort of thing, Yeah, so if you'd like to be part of that, where you can just study with other people and learn the Bible together and be, you know, spurred on towards that, then there's some sheets on the welcome desk. Sign up. There's different groups, different nights, and be really good if you can be part of that and involved with that. Later on in the year, in May, I'm going to start something or start working on. You know, remember Peter that came in and shared? He heads up something called School of Ministries. Something I did when I was in Uganda a year before last. It's a module-based program for looking at different themes and book, biblical subjects. And I thought while I was in Uganda, I said to him, I really would think we could use this locally in local church, really. And so I've been talking about that. I had a little meeting with Peter again this week online, and I'm going to start in May, going to address the kingdom of God. Is going to be the first module that we do. Take about three, and that will be on a Saturday morning for about 3 hours once a month. Okay, but just watch this space, and I'll give you some more information as that develops. Great. And I just want to just put this thought out today, but we'll come back to this another a few times on and off during the year, really. It's great to read the Bible together. It's great to study it, you know, in a maybe more classroom context sometimes now and again. But actually, the baseline is our own personal Bible reading program, isn't it? And do you have a system for reading the Bible on a regular basis? And do you know what you want to achieve with your Bible reading? We'll come back to that maybe next week. Now, I think I'll give you some thoughts and options on whether you might want to do that. But if that resonates with you, you're thinking, I'm wanting to do that, but I don't know where to start, then have a little word with me or have a little word with somebody else you know that reads their Bible or you think reads their Bible, and maybe they can point you in the right direction. Okay, I want to just move on, really, because time is gone almost. And I've got a couple of other things. Are you all right just for a few more minutes? I'm going to stretch you a little bit today because I just want to... So, go on, yeah, there you go. Brilliant. So, I don't know if you know, but actually, we want to keep sowing those to grow them. We want to go east mindset. We want to be as deep as we can, but equally, we want to party. You know, this year, I don't know if you know, we've been going as 20 years as a church. Remember, just as I was thinking about this morning, thinking 20 years ago, we were all looking at the millennium starting, weren't we? Do you know, it was 2000, it was 1999, and we're thinking, well, we've got a year to go, and and then the world is going to self-destruct around computers. You know, do you remember all that? How many of you can remember all the sort of fear and worry and all that sort of stuff that was going around? How many of you picked up a lot of work from that? You know, so, yeah, thought you might. So, but yeah, that's what it was, wasn't it? And we were staring down that, and I'm thinking, well, I don't know about the world self-destruct. I think it's about time to plant the church. And we started, I remember the first series we did was Church in the New Millennium, you know, and it all sounded sort of like fresh and alive and brilliant, and it's all going. And now, my goodness, it's been 20 years. And the world didn't self-destruct, and things have developed. It's interesting that, and you know, Christians, we're really good at doing that. You know, we're really good. I'm going off at a tangent here, but I remember at the beginning of the 1990s, hearing somebody come, a guest preacher come and speak at the church I was part of that, and saying, God has given us 10 years to sort ourselves out before we reach the new millennium, and thinking, well, I think life just carried on anyway, really. God has a way of just making things carry on, and we just have to keep moving on with him, don't we? But beyond that, really, it's good to celebrate, isn't it? It's good to recognize that God has done what he's done. That 20 years ago, we didn't even exist. You know, that 20 years ago, you know, when I have my down days, I'll be a bit morose for a moment. So, you know, I have my down days, I think to myself, because I have those moments when I think, oh, dear. And then I start thinking about people and people whose lives have changed just because God enabled us to be here. And I get a bit encouraged with that. And I could look out across this room and, you know, I'm not going to do it, but I see so many stories, so many people whose lives have been changed in one way or another. And then if you want to lift outside this room, there are countless others in our community whose lives have been somehow or another changed or transformed just because God enabled us to start something. But 20 years is a long time, isn't it? And so maybe we can use this year. We're going to max out our help. It's not just about celebrating the fact that we're here and, like, you know, just having a birthday party, because we like having parties. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's about maximizing our opportunities. And why not this year? Let's just make most of an opportunity to say, do you know, for 20 years, God's been changing lives, and we're believing that he's going to do it for another 20 years or whatever it may be until he returns. Using what God has done to help other people have their lives transformed. So this year, going to make that, you like the little logo that we've got put up there and stuff? That's going to just be everywhere you look, okay? Just a couple of things that we're going to do on on the 23rd of February, we're going to have an official opening of the work out here. I hope we've got it all as much done as we possibly can by then. We'll be complete. Got the mayor coming to cut the ribbon in the morning. We're going to have some of the groups here that inviting them to do stuff, you know, and we'll be celebrating, as in that context, we'll be saying, you know, this is an example of 20 years of transformation. In September, we're going to have a sort of a weekend where we really sort of celebrate, we pray, we rejoice together with what God has done, really. And then in the middle of all that, just going to think of some prophetic things that we can do. If you believe God's given you something that you think would be a prophetic statement, a prophetic thing that we could do as part of this 20 years, please just let us know. Okay, come and let me know. Just tell me that and, you know, see how that goes. Great. I must move on. I just want to mention this in here as well. So at the start of this year, when we're thinking about East, Deep, and Party, we've got to pray, haven't we? And we got to commit this year to the Lord. So we had a one worship and wait last year. A few of you were part of that. But what I want us just to encourage, and I'll say more about this next week as well, 16th of January, 8 p.m, down here, we're going to join with the worship team and we're going to pray and seek God. And I really would like to invite you, if you're able to fast, even if it's just for one meal during that day, or if it's to fast telly or fast chocolate, whatever it means, but to do something where you say, God, I'm going to give up something for that day. And then we'll seek God for the evening. So it'd be great if you could be part of that. Right, I just want to finish, really. And I know I have taken advantage a little bit of time this morning, but I'm not going to apologise, because when I apologise, somebody always tells me off for apologising, and then I have to apologise for apologising. And it goes on and on and on and on. But as I was thinking about today, and actually yesterday morning, as I woke up, I just had this picture in my mind. And forgive me for putting it this way. I'm going to just say it is, really, but it seems a bit crude, really. But I just had this picture of an individual. It was nobody particularly individual, but where they were large on the outside, but on the inside, they looked like they were a victim of a famine scenario. And it was that thought that just came to me as I was laying there, really. I felt it was from the Lord, that saying that for some folks, they feel big on the outside, but they are starving on the inside. And we can do that at Christmas particularly, can't we? We can put on the pounds, all the food, and just neglect the spiritual life. And somehow or another, we shrink on the inside and we grow on the outside, don't we? And yet it can be like that, perhaps, for some of us in our spiritual life. And this might not be true for many of us here. It might not be true. It might just be for one person. But I'm still going to talk about it just for a moment, really. You see, you're hearing all these things and you're thinking, well, great, you know, I'd still want to be sowing to grow. And I really, really, really want to be used by God to help people find Jesus, because he's made a difference to my life. I really want to do that. And I want to deepen my Christian life. But, you know, I just feel like I'm a failure. I just feel like I've really let God down, and there's no way forward for me. I don't know about this. This was another conference that I went to last year, GLS Willow Creek thing on video stuff in Cambridge. And I know T.D. Jakes isn't everybody's cup of tea, but I love listening to him, actually. I want to preach like him. He had this little phrase as part of his talk. He said, you can't win without losing. I wonder what your thoughts would be on that. I'd be intrigued to know what you, how you. But basically, what you're saying is that don't see your failures as defeat, but somehow see them as your friends. It's not that anybody ever intends to fail. And I don't like the fail word because it's so crippling, isn't it? But I can't think of a better one, really, where mistakes is probably not enough, really, because when we feel we've failed, we really feel that it's the end of it, don't we? We really feel like that's it's over. And yet he's saying, actually, why don't you turn that around and make a difference? To learn from losing. I like this little sort of approach, really. Allow Jesus to... And maybe for some of us, what we need to do is to allow Jesus to repair us, forgive us, or heal us, whatever it may be, or maybe all three of those things. See, it's a choice to say to Jesus, I'm going to allow you to restore me. Because we can keep pushing the grace of God away, can't we? And maybe for some of us, as we start this year and you're thinking, you know, it's all failed, it's all gone wrong, what you actually need to do is to say, God, I give you permission to heal me. And I'm not necessarily talking about physical healing here, inwardly. I give you permission, Lord, to restore me, to get me back on my feet again. And maybe that's, for some of us, is what we need to do. And when you've engaged with that thought, that you choose to wait on God again. You see, if you think that God's got no future with you, you're not going to wait on him and expect him to talk to you and give you some future, are you? But maybe for some of us, we've got to do that again. We've got to get back on our knees and say, God, you know, I choose to believe that you're going to restore me. And so I'm going to, as part of that discipline of choice, I'm going to engage with you again. I'm going to start praying and seeking you. And then God, allow God to empower you and catch your vision again. See, grace for us as Christians is our unfair advantage. It's the thing that we have that the unbeliever doesn't have. Do you remember last year when we talked about those little seeds, those little tomato seeds? And we planted them, and I was saying to people, and some of us here, we planted them in season. You remember a picture of Ruth? Ruth planted her tomato seeds when she should have done. And they grew when they should have done, didn't they? And you had this lovely harvest. Some of us, we never planted our seed at all, and you didn't get any tomatoes. Well, tough luck. But no, the reality is, if you didn't plant them, you weren't going to get them. And then I sort of said about, oh, well, I've been so busy, and I planted mine late. And so we got a reduced harvest. But then actually, there was good reason, really, in one sense, why we planted them, and I could justify all that, you know. But I went out into my garden a few weeks back, and it has been cold, hasn't it? It hasn't been the sort of weather that you'd expect. And yet, actually, I hadn't got round to throwing the compost. They're throwing the plants away, really. And on that stem there, as you can see, tomatoes that had grown again. I think they shouldn't really be growing right now. Well, I'm sure there's somebody here who will tell me the technical reasons and why they've grown and all that sort of stuff. You probably can. But I felt it was like the Lord saying to me, you know, grace overcomes sometimes what you think shouldn't happen. That even out of season, I can make things grow if I want to make them grow. Even if you are sowing late in the season, I can still make something happen just so long as you sow. And so maybe for some of us here today, that's a word for you, that you think that the season has passed, that it's not worth you sowing anymore. But I want to say to you today that there is never a season, the season has never passed when you can sow. There is always a fresh opportunity for God, for each one of us. And I encourage you with all that I am this morning, that if you feel that your opportunity has passed, that God has stopped wanting to work with you, please, please, please bury that thought and start sowing some things with God again. Because he hasn't finished with you. And even if it is out of season, the fruit can still grow because God can make it grow. His grace is sufficient for you and for me. I'm really excited what God's doing with us at the moment. You know, there's fresh shoots happening coming out all over the place. And I really hope that you are too, that you're ready for what God is doing amongst us. For 20 years of transformation, eh? And you have been part of that. You are part of what God is doing. Let's pray, shall we? Could we stand together, if you're able to stand or you're willing to stand? I'm quite happy for you to stay seated if you want to, but... I'm just going to pray, and off the back of that, and then Tom's going to start sort of just to play for us a little bit. And I just want to sort of give a few moments. If you feel like you would like to pray out loud for this year or for something else, then please feel free to do that, okay? I just want to give opportunity for you to do that this morning. If you do pray, please let me encourage you to be fairly brief and to the point so that it gives other people a chance to pray if they want to. Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you see more than we see. Thank you, Lord, that you are working in us and through us and with us today, Lord. So I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning, Lord. Pray for myself, that we will have open hearts to you, God. As Nicola encouraged us earlier to do, Lord, to open our hearts and our lives to you. This year, Lord, I pray for some of us to deepen who we are in you. I pray this year, Lord, for some of us to experience the amazing power of your Spirit as we go deeper, as we go further and further east in the mission that you put before us. But Lord, equally this year, help us to rejoice in 20 years that you've allowed us to be a transformational influence in our town. Thank you, Lord. If you'd like to pray, please feel free to do so.